We're going to have a floating mic. So we're going to have half prepared questions. And if you have a question, if you could raise your hand, we're going to have the floating mic walked to you. And please don't ask the question until you receive the mic. I'm kind of losing my voice this morning, so we'll see. We'll see if I can keep it till the end. But I definitely appreciate you men being willing to field our questions. And it's a special privilege for me because I actually first heard about Cornerstone through Marcus and through Joshua. So the whole idea of local missionary work having a huge impact on my life definitely resonates. So I was actually at college, and I don't know if you remember, but it was Welcome Week. And I was just kind of wandering around looking for basically a Bible study to join. And Marcus was manning the table, and he gave me such a thorough gospel bomb that I pretty much on the spot decided that I was going to come to Cornerstone. And then the first week, Pastor Joshua Lee actually spoke at the campus Bible study. So I've personally been very impacted by your missionary work, and so I definitely appreciate that. So with that, we're going to kick off the questions. So the idea is to kind of peel back the personal and the kind of practical layers of missionary work. And you guys could all just start by kind of briefly giving us your testimonies. I know that could take the whole time, but the Cliff Notes version, please.
I got saved and now I'm a missionary.
I think you win.
Okay. Raised in a nominal Christian home, did not know the Lord, was in church every Sunday, went to Spokane and ended up at a nominal Christian university. And while I was there, two guys that I knew were very zealous for Jesus, whom I tried to avoid, cornered me and gave me a gospel bomb. And God used that in due time to show me my total depravity, as Joshua was preaching this morning. Romans 1 heart. And my senior year, God saved me, gave me a heart of repentance. I was immediately plugged into Faith Bible Church in Spokane, where they were preaching the word and discipling guys and ministering to them and accountability, shepherding. And God used that time really just to form me as a young believer. As I mentioned earlier, there was immediate desire for missions. And so just even on my college campus was just evangelizing and ministering. And pretty soon, you know, the elders there were just pushing me more and giving me opportunities to serve, more responsibility. I ended up in the Czech Republic, where I was living with Peter and Sonia Smith. And I think that was revolutionary for my own life, just as a man, where I learned from Peter what it meant to be a husband and a father at just a very personal, intimate level as I watched him throughout the day. And as I watched him too firsthand as a missionary. And so that just set me on the course for the Czech Republic. And then Amy and I got married in 2003. And 3 months later, we were down here with you, and we were here with you for 6 years. I was ordained here. And then we briefly went back up to Washington to spend time with our families while we waited for our visa. And we've been on the Czech Republic now for coming up on 14 years.
Yeah, I got saved when I was 17 as a high school dropout. There was like after a year being a dropout, and the gospel came. My sister shared the gospel with me, and I was touched by her love and started going to church. And the Lord used that, yeah, to compel me to love Him and serve Him. Yeah, I got married year 2000, and shortly after that, we came to the seminary, the master seminary, and that's where I met Marcus, and then it was also through him I ended up serving here after graduation. And then he was sent out, I was kicked out. So anyway, the Lord has been gracious. We went back year 2007, end of 2007, and end of 2007, I think. Yeah, it was a wonderful, challenging year. We went back without any support, without any, anything. Just went back, and the Lord has been faithful and given us so much, kindness and goodness of His. So we've been there since end of 2007, and now back here, fellowshipping with you guys. It's great.
Yes, I'm going to try to talk as little as possible because I have a lot more words still to come. But I do like to share what the Lord did in my life. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm so thankful that God used godly parents who were preaching the gospel to make me a new person at a very young age. And God can save children, and I look back and see that He really did save me and gave me a desire for Christ, and even for sharing the gospel from just being even in elementary school. And of course, there's a lot more that came after that in terms of recognizing what it meant to follow Christ, and times of doubting and being renewed. But I am so grateful for the fact that God saves people in all sorts of different circumstances, but all the same way, really, through Jesus Christ and raising up spiritually dead people and giving them life, whether they're little or old.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. So, Marcus, you already shared how you were called to missions. But if both Pastor Joshua's, if you could kind of share how you were called to missions, how it's something that you felt was on your heart when you decided to act on it. If you could give us kind of a brief history of how you started in missions.
Yeah, I was doing my final year of seminary, and I was unsure of what to do with my ministry. Should I go back home or stay, right? And I actually wanted to stay. The temptation is great and strong. So returning home is like returning to nothing. So the Lord has to use various means of grace. I think one of the big one is my preaching professor, Professor Montoya. So I was so lost and so confused. So I went to him in his office and I asked him, what should I do? And he told me about the Canadian goose story. The Canadian goose, right? they fly south during winter. I think it's flying south during winter anyway. So to escape winter in the north, so they'll go south and but some geese decided to stay and not following the rest of the geese home after winter. So those who stay, they grow fat. And the next time round, when they see their other geese come by and then they go home, they decide to follow them home, but then they can't fly anymore because they are too fat to fly. So I got the point. So he said, get out of my office. So this is what he did to me. I never know.
I'm going to make it a point to use that story one day in some way.
Well, I guess, I'm so thankful to have grown up in a Christian home, and my parents had a policy, I suppose. On Sundays, we weren't really allowed to watch TV or play video games, and so I would get really bored, and what we could do was read Christian biographies. So I grew up reading especially missionary stories, and really had a passion for that. And then when I was a senior in high school, I really developed I struggled with fear of man in a big way. And so I hated to talk in front of people. I wouldn't even introduce my dad at our high school graduation. He spoke at my high school graduation, but I wouldn't introduced because I was too scared. And so I never thought of being a pastor. But that summer, I just read the Bible all summer. I had a job where I could read, actually. And I read the Bible and books by Jerry Bridges and John MacArthur, Our Sufficiency in Christ, and developed a passion to know the Word of God, and so that I could be transformed, but also so that I could share it with others to help them. And went out to Master's College, became part of Grace Community, sat under some really godly men who mentored me. Went to seminary, was affirmed by Grace Community as a pastor, as an elder, and then we went back to Church Plant in Pennsylvania. We were there for 7 or 8 years, but we really felt a burden. Marta and I both felt a burden for missions, growing and growing and growing, and it took a while to get there because that particular church was, we had a, you know, we had a responsibility to them. And after a period of time, they got excited about missions as well and came alongside us and sent us to Africa. So, well, that's our story as quickly as I can say it.
Awesome.
No good goose story, though. Sorry.
Awesome. Thank you. So as I ask this next question, if anybody wants to ask a question, please raise your hand. Somebody from the audio team will walk a mic over to you. And awesome, we already have one.
So I have a question, but it's a little bit of a compound question. How has it been living in two different cultures and staying true to the Word and parenting children in two different cultures, knowing that materialism is very different in the United States in comparison to outside of the world and the other parts of the world?
Anyone jump in?
Yeah, just parenting in two different cultures. I think we're probably still learning how to do that. I think obviously the most encouraging thing that God's done is to, you know, transform my children and work in their lives and their hearts. You know, so the first place that we were missionaries was in the home, helping our children see their need for Christ, just as the parents needed that. And as God and His grace slowly drew them to Himself, then it was the next level of, you know, teaching them to grow and being transformed by the renewing of their minds. And so I think where we excelled, I'll share my strength and then my weakness. I think that we excelled really just intensely spending time in the Word together as a family, just talking about the Scriptures. And as they're in the public school there, they're hearing all the nonsense of atheism and all those arguments. And so what for me was encouraging was just to go through the Scriptures and talk about the truth and looking at creation around us and seeing my children grasp that and taking that back to school and either asking the questions that needed to be asked or else, you know, even using the Word of God and evangelizing the students around them. I think, you know, my wife, Amy, has been a tremendous mom. I think any wife on the mission field that understands that her main ministry is not first and foremost out there, but in the home. And so God's been faithful to work through my wife and to use her in my children's lives. And so now we're at the new phase where, you know, we've got, they're not three little girls anymore. I got three young women in the home, and they don't know this, but I think often I'm terrified because it's just a new phase. It's just so easy to talk about, you know, Jesus in the Bible and stuff, but it's another thing to talk about future and shepherding. So I'm learning. I'm learning how to do that, and my wife helps me, and there's a lot more to be said, but I think that, God, you know, just God's grace and all of that to see Him sustaining our family and even using my daughters there. You know, they love the church and they love the lost and they love the saints there. And so I think that's just crucial. When the Lord does that, you can labor together as a family.
Yeah, add a little bit to that is, our lifestyle is the theater of the gospel. So using every moment where they are tempted to love the world, to teach them about the truth of Christ. Yeah, remember, children like to compare, you know, neighbors or somebody that they know, yeah, they're so well to do, you know, how come we don't have this, we don't have that. It's like the bombardment from the world is everywhere, right? Not just here in Mission Field as well. There will be things coming even from the internet that will tempt them to materialism. So I think that, yeah, my learning is how to use that to teach them about, yeah, the simplicity of Christ and the faithfulness of God in providing for us. And yeah, it's true. Our wives, they are important in this part of the ministry at home. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the sermon I'm about to preach will have something to say in terms of all this. But one of the challenges moving back is that we were made to live for one thing, one great consuming thing, Jesus Christ and His glory. And like, that's not just a call, like that's the best life. And so what can happen in our culture is that there's like a million different things to live for that are pretty good. And so Jesus is sort of like here on the table with about a million other things. And so coming back, thinking through in terms of parenting, making sure that Jesus stays on the table all by himself in terms of the way we live our life as a family. Like, he is the one thing. Some of these other things are fine and okay to pursue here or there, but like, Jesus and his glory is the priority. And our whole family, our whole way of life needs to revolve around that. And so sometimes on the mission field, it's actually can be a little easier in a more unrushed culture, maybe, or it's just so clear why you're there. And then sometimes you come back into a culture like this and you're tempted to forget why you're on the planet, and it doesn't feel quite as urgent, but it is just as urgent. People are just as spiritually dead around you. They're going to hell, eternity of hell. God's just as glorious here as he is overseas. The priorities still the same. So it's just a matter of a matter of not conforming and blowing your family up by not having Christ as the center.
So maybe this would be a good segue into the question of what were some of the hardships that you guys faced on the missionary field, and how did the Lord use those to teach you or to grow your faith?
I'll just go briefly. I think, you know, Joshua said it too, you know, Czech's not an uncomfortable place. It's first world. They've got everything that you have here. We just went into a place where the culture is very cold. Friendships are hard to come by. And the church that Peter Smith started, you know, it was a little church. And over the years, it got even littler. And so I think it was just a sense of loneliness. You know, we were cut off. There was never a sense of, you know, did we get ourselves involved in something that we weren't prepared for? We felt fully prepared. We felt fully affirmed and adequate and equipped. But it's still difficult. And so I think that God used that probably even just to strengthen our marriage, to strengthen our family. Just to, even as Joshua said, I mean, even our first priority is not even the ministry, but it's Christ. It's seeking after him, pursuing him. And I think that the Lord used that time just to humble us and to show us that, you know, he doesn't need us, but in his grace can use us. And so as we learned those things, we've also been privileged since the last few years to see the Lord really begin to build the church. And I mean, that really will bolster your faith, just to see the gospel working, see people's lives radically transformed around you, and to see this little church starting to grow. That's been a huge, huge encouragement for us. And so, you know, I think just more of the process that we've gone through, but seeing God's faithfulness in those things has certainly encouraged us and sustained us.
Yeah, Quite similar. It's loneliness and also don't have the encouraging fellowship with like-minded believers. I think that's very challenging, and it affects many areas of our ministry. Just doing ministry by ourselves. And when we went back, like I told you, we didn't have any like churches or even a like-minded church that we can go and fellowship. There was like just a lot of charismatic and then pagan and Christian pagan as well. So there's very few like-minded believers that we can share our life with, and that has been very challenging. You feel like you're doing this all by yourself, and then even family members, they don't understand what you're doing. That also hard. I mean, like my family's side, we have like three believers, but they're all in the charismatic movement and they're against what we are doing. And then Julie's family, she didn't get any support from them. So it's like you just, plow your way through, and that's challenging.
I think the greatest joy is, one of the greatest joys is working with other believers for the cause of Christ. And then one of the greatest difficulties sometimes is the way that we treat one another and when we're sinned against or when we sin against others. So there were some definite times when we first moved there where there was confusion. We had a plan. That plan didn't work out. And seeing God's sovereignty and all that all these years later, keeping your mouth shut when you're being sinned against, when you think you're being sinned against, and entrusting that to God is a good spiritual discipline, and trying to do the right thing in the middle of some of that. Being disappointed by people that you've mentored and poured into, it's a great joy to see them do well. And then as much of a joy it is to see them do well when they are hiding things or living in sin or manipulating others, that can be just heartbreaking for sure.
Thanks for sharing. So while I ask this question, if anybody else has a question, please do raise your hand. We're approaching the end. So I have one question in the corner.
Did you ever have any work that risked your life?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
Did you ever risk your life?
Oh. where we are ministering, it's illegal to evangelize the Muslim. But we still have to risk it and share the gospel. So when you do that, you're getting ready for some jail time. that's I think that's a form of risk that we have.
When we first moved there, South Africa has a lot of crime. And it's especially when you move there, you're meeting people who moved from South Africa here. So they like to talk about all the crime. So because they have to have a reason to move somewhere else. So it can be scary to go. And then when we first got there, I was preaching on the resurrection of the dead. And then the night that I preached that sermon, we went to a restaurant and heard a crash, and there were all kinds of gang members in there with guns, and we were all underneath the table, and little Caitlin was just a little one there underneath me, and Marta was somewhere too, and we had a number of experiences like that. Surprisingly, quite a few. But the Lord, they're a lot less scary than they sound. That's why I don't like to tell them, because like, it sounds intense. But once you're in it, you're like, oh, no, God's the same God now that he was then. And he takes you through it. But I was thinking I was going to have to apply that sermon very quickly. I was like, do I really believe in the resurrection of the dead?
So I wish we had like twice as much time, maybe three times as much time, because we're already drawing to a close. But if you guys could share any prayer requests, maybe your top three prayer requests each for the country you're currently serving in or the country that you have served in.
Real practically, that God would continue to raise up leaders, capable men that love their families and love the church and are able to shepherd and minister the word. That would be one. Secondly, for the unbelievers that are coming. So we've got unbelievers coming every Sunday, which again, in that context, in that culture, it's pretty phenomenal. You know, again, people are bringing family and friends to church and they're hearing the gospel. And so for God to save these unbelievers, and I'd put into that to Ukrainian ministry. So the church is still ministering to the refugees, and some of them are coming to church on Sunday, hearing the gospel as well. Pray for them. And I think just lastly, even just a future meeting place, it's becoming a more and more of a practical need. So, you know, like you guys here, probably grow out of this pretty soon. We're getting to that point as well. So just practical things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for us is in the middle of like transitioning to another place. So I've talked to some here. Yeah, we're thinking about another ministry opportunity in Indonesia. So we have to move from where we are to go to that place. So you can pray. Yeah, pray for us. Yeah, that the Lord will make it clear and also. Yeah, prepare our hearts for that ministry there. It's like 10 times bigger than where we are right now. But the only difference is over there is legal to share the gospel with the Muslim. Whereas where we are now, it is illegal. So you can pray for that. Yeah.
We're really excited to see what the Lord's going to do and excited to pray along with you about that for sure. The one that comes to mind real quickly is just that more biblical churches would be planted in small villages and townships throughout Africa, places where, or South Africa. The church there, Living Hope's about to send a guy back to his village specifically, and what can happen here can happen there as well. Like the places that are a little more prosperous and nicer tend to get more missionaries and church planters. And so we're praying the church will be able to continue to send godly, qualified, trained men to villages and towns where you wouldn't expect a good church, that they could hear God's word there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing those prayer requests. So I'm going to go ahead and close us. I think we're pretty much at time, right? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close us a prayer. Hopefully touch on some of the prayer requests that you guys just surfaced. So let's pray. Father, you're so good to us and you're so gracious. You not only provided your son who saved our souls, but you provide the Holy Spirit who guides us. And you also provide us with awesome examples like these men here. Examples that show us how to live out the Great Commission, how to love souls, how to obey the command to share the gospel. And Lord, we're so thankful. We pray that you'd continue to support their ministries. We pray in particular for Pastor Marcus as he returns back to the Czech Republic. We pray that you'd help them as they continue to expand, to find a new building. Pray that you'd help them as they're growing to to not run into a lot of the logistical problems that often accompany growth, but if you could just really smooth their path as the church is at a place where it's growing, and please continue to work on the hearts of the people who come to camp year in and year out that Pastor Mark has mentioned as well. Lord, we pray for Pastor Joshua Lee as his church is in a time of transition. We pray that you'd help them as well. And especially as they have the opportunity to minister the gospel legally to Muslims, potentially in this upcoming season of ministry, we pray that you would allow that to be fruitful. And we pray that many would be saved through their ministry. We pray for the team back in South Africa, or really for the nursery back in South Africa and for the church there. Pray that you continue to raise up godly men, continue to raise up godly leaders and godly families, Lord. We pray that you would use what they've started there to continue to not only save souls, but also teach people how to continue to plant churches and save additional souls. We pray that they would see compound interest on their efforts in South Africa. So Lord, we pray this, and we thank you so much for the lives of these men and for the example that they are to us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.